Everything you know about health is about to change. Welcome to Straight Talk on Health with Dr. Vincent Medici. Sometimes people suffer, not from lack of faith, but from lack of knowledge. This is the show that changes that. If you are tired of being sick, tired of not getting answers, tired of spinning in circles, then listen closely to the next 30 minutes. For healing is not a mystery. It is a miracle that you were designed to experience. It takes hard work and real knowledge. It takes patience and time. It takes the education this show can provide. So, get it straight today. Here's Dr. Medici.
Good morning. I'm Dr. Vincent Medici. This is Straight Talk on Health. Let's get it on. This morning, Los Angeles Times, 10 killed in latest school shootings. No doubt you've heard about the tragedy in Texas. I'd like to take the time today, I think it's appropriate, to give us a perspective on mood, emotion, psyche. We can all relate to this in the sense that we're all aware that we have good days, we have bad days. Most of us don't go off like that. But all of us are acquainted with the notion that moment to moment, day to day, week to week, month to month, over things we can identify, over things we can't identify, we have these mood shifts. Let's take a look. Of course, get to the website, straighttalk.cc, not .com, that's with two T's, Straight Talk. I've got tons of pictures. I've also got another 30 minutes after this show. So make sure you get on the website later today to hear a more comprehensive version of what will start today on air. All right, modern man. 2018, you're going to hear lots of things about mood along the lines of this celebration that science has in understanding it. Now, it may have started with Freud in the Western world last century, but it's evolved to the point where, well, people write books. Here's a book by Loretta Brunig. Got a PhD in something. Meet your happy chemicals, dopamine, serotonin, oxytocin, endorphins. And of course, if you get into her books, and she's kind of transpersonal, meaning what? To explain your moods to you, some psychologists today are going to talk to you in a holistic way in terms of your happy chemicals and you're not making enough happy chemicals. And the nutritionists are there on the sidelines clapping because we can give you, say, amino acids. Or you can go to these very expensive clinics if you're trying to get off drugs or you're having a nervous breakdown. You can't get up to go to work because the anxiety or depression is so bad. You can go to these clinics to give you IV drips of amino acids and other things that are supposed to make more happy chemicals that people writing books like Dr. Brunig are very happy to explain to you. There was Candace Pert, neuroscientists. Arguably one of the best minds in the last 50 years on this topic, molecules of emotion. I talk about her respectfully all the time. She understood a great deal. Here's the point to you. What we're doing now is trying to understand people in terms of the science of the chemistry that we finally evolved to the point where we can isolate these things and get a sense of how they interact. And this, of course, gives us great hope for the future. I'll comment on that. I want to give you perspective on that against other steps you can take. My suggestion to you, I'll start now and then we'll conclude. My suggestion is to you is don't be misled by our proposed level of scientific sophistication at explaining incidents like yesterday all the way to the guy that has the nervous breakdown. You know, these people come into my office. I mean, when I say these people, I mean people on the edge of a breakdown. Yeah, and sometimes you look at them and you're like, man, you know, maybe you should go on meds because you get the sense they're going to go postal. There's a lot of people like that. A lot more people than ever express it. Perhaps you yourself have known that point to where you thought you were going to crack one way or the other. And cracking may mean you just sit in a closet for 6 months and you don't come out of your house. It may mean violence. It may mean any one of many things. But my point to you is, first and foremost, we're going to medicate you, and that's the pharmacological approach to numbness. I see this all the time with the elderly. Sometimes the elderly, as they go senile, get very violent. I have dealt with this repeatedly in my practice. And off they are into lockdown, and unless they have loved ones on top of it, those who are violent go to lockdown facilities where they're given very powerful drugs that make them inert. And so you sit there like you're in a coma the rest of your life, and then you pass. And that's very often what happens to people when they go into lockdown. And that's what science can do for them. It can anesthetize them, numb them out, because they're a danger to society. I don't want to get into the ethics of that choice. I only want to point out this is one of the ways we deal with mental illness. Don't think Prozac and the opiates and the rest of these drugs are that different than the strong ones. So you may graduate to synthetic lithium and Thorazine, or you just may live for 20 years with Paxil, Celexa, Wellbutrin, or Klonopin, or Xanax. Kind of the idea today is, the minute you can't control your mood, meaning the minute you're really hauling off on the people around you, including work, your clients, your family, your relatives, your neighbors, you're at the point where you're starting to become a danger to yourself and to society. And we have answers for you. It's called meds, and we numb you out. And I'm not saying that's not relevant time to time or appropriate, but I am saying that is one of the ways we're going. So our so-called sophisticated science will numb you out. The question is that really getting to the cause? The perspective, of course, is while you're evolving causation and what to do about the fundamentals, you have to, of course, you've got to minimize the damage in the meantime. Now, there's another perspective. Freud was on it. Yes, he was. Lie on a couch and get into it, man. It starts with mommy and daddy. I mentioned Dr. Bernard Bell last week. The book, Mother's Signature. Get the book. Read the book. That fetus, in ways we will never understand, is equipped to sit in there in mommy's belly. And if it all goes fairly well, it doesn't have to go perfect, but if it goes fairly well, that fetus is going to sit there and smile for 9 months of bliss. It's going to float in bliss. It's on the highest high it may ever know, truly. Or truly not. It can go the other way. Of course, this is the point of Dr. Bell's book. Get it. Read it. You want to understand most fundamentally where all this stuff comes from? Not just yesterday in Texas, but the wars, everything starts in mommy's belly. Freud skipped mommy's belly. He started it when you popped out. Bell, who I credit more than anyone, talked about it in utero. No doubt about it. From the second the sperm meets egg till the time you're 10 years old, most of you, it's on its way to wherever it's going. You really want to understand it? Go back to that. Go back to that and take a look. A healthy infant, some of you may not remember this or relate to it anymore. So I always like to include that analogy to animals. A healthy infant, a healthy puppy, a healthy kitten, a healthy monkey loves to cuddle. It loves to get pet. It drools. It moves in wave-like fashions. It sucks in the love. It sucks it in. It absorbs it. Mothers, think about your children. Think about your children. Think about what many mothers will call my best years, right? The thrill of holding that infant in your arms. And those early years when it was you and your baby in a dome, even at the point where daddy's sort of irrelevant. You know your kids. Ladies, you know your kids. They suck in. They imbibe. Like a sponge in water, they imbibe your love, and you can feel them pulse. That pulse between mother and child in utero and in those first early years, that's everything. And then there's the opposite of that. Then there's something goes wrong. That kid is beat up in the womb. That birth is violent. Cord around neck. Emergency cesareans. Labor's 36 hours. Kid's fighting for its life. And what I'm trying to paint for you is that ever important contrast between that child in uterine bliss versus that child in distress. And that's the beginning of what you often hear me talk about as that's the early underpinnings of the nervous system, of the autonomic nervous system, the ability of the body to find its pleasure in contrast to the body that just knows or doesn't know the amount of dissociative anxiety that it lives within. Now, painted otherwise, where you start in utero becomes your creative force in life. You're 6 years old and you play football. You start to dance. You start to paint. You start to go to school. And you transfer that uterine bliss. These aren't words. This isn't poetry. That is a physical feeling in the body. Watch children play. Watch them play something as inane as Lego. Watch them do what they do. It's a bowl of cherries for an infant. It's a bowl of cherries for a child. Mothers, fathers, they want it to be that way. Okay. Or not. Or not. And somewhere along the way, that child disconnects. It can no longer handle the stress of life. Life is stressful. No adult will argue. Well, we've been given intact, divine, sacred mechanisms that motherhood and tons of other things are part of expressing. And at some point, if the stress of life exceeds the child, the individual's ability to cope with the stresses of life, bombs go off. This is a physical process. You cannot dissociate this process from the body. How many of you have said, if this keeps up, I'm going to crack. If this keeps up, I'm going to flip. If this keeps up, I'm going to lose my mind. Well, more than you know or like to admit, many of you are a lot closer to that reality than you think. Now, what's wrong there? Well, you can go at that from many angles. But one thing is certain. The ability of the physiological mechanisms to put you back into that cuddly baby state, into that state the puppy enjoys when you pet it, the kitten enjoys when it purrs, the infant enjoys when you hug it. You're losing or you've lost that ability. In fact, you're walking around without knowing it in a post-traumatic stress syndrome that started many, many, many years earlier, and the stress keeps building and building and building and building. Yes, and you can measure. You can measure where you're at. And I've said this so many times on this show for 5 years. Admittedly, most aren't understanding it, but nonetheless, that won't stop me. I'm going to be shoving this down your throat for the rest of my life, no doubt. You can measure your connectivity. That measurement is directly proportional to how you respond to touch. That measurement is directly proportional to how you respond to touch. We ought to understand touch in the context of determining just how off the deep end somebody's going or is or will be. Right, I know, it doesn't sound too scientific, right? consider this. Consider the formative.